Welcome to the Chronicles of Frank. How are you? Today's guest is one of the handful of people I can definitely call best friend. Ryan Young. And let me tell you about Ryan Young. This guy, he straight up changed my life numerous times. Got me into my first band, played my first show with him. Introduced me to my wife, and the guy is just one of my most treasured friends, and I love him very much. And just want to say thank you, Ryan, for changing my life numerous times over and over again. And today is also my daughter's birthday, and she's one, and it is crazy. It's amazing how fast time really, really flies, and this year has definitely been one of the most beautiful, scary, spiritual trips I've ever been on. And Lucy, if you're listening to this when you're older, I love you. And I can't wait to see you grow into the person that you're gonna be. And in this podcast, in this particular one with Ryan, we cover a lot of personal things, from death and spirituality as always, and the music scene that used to be in Las Vegas in the early 2000s, that was pretty awesome. I wasn't really involved with it, but Ryan definitely was. And it was just a good time. A lot of people think Las Vegas is just, you know, the city of sin, but there's more to it, like any other town. And I'd like to use this podcast to help people recognize that, put other bands out, give artists a platform, give Las Vegas a platform. So if you're interested, hit me up, Holmes. But yeah, I'm going to play you into the conversation with a little Paul Cantor, and the song's called Have You Seen the Stars Tonight, off the album Blows Against the Empire. And to me, it opens up with, like, one of the most beautiful moments musically. When you hear it, like, you just feel the wonder. You look into the stars and just feel the wonder of the universe. You look at your child and just see the wonder of what's going to happen. You could feel it all just there. And that's what the song embodies to me, is, you know, gazing up at the stars and getting lost in the awesomeness of it. So yeah, thank you guys. Life's good, and I hope you enjoyed this song and the conversation. And yeah, here's Paul Cantor and Jefferson's Starship. Buy the album, it's worth it. It's a really good concept album. All right, bye. Thank you.
stars tonight. Would you like to go up on a deck and look at them with me? Have you seen the stars tonight? Would you like to go up for a stroll and keep me company? Do you know?
Between the den and then the kitchen and the sliding wooden door, and for whatever reason that light was always on in the dining room, and there would be like shadows going underneath the door, and that was always the worst to me, because then I'd have to go fucking check it out. God damn it.
Well, there was, you could no see way. From under the door?
Yeah, so like it looked like, you know, like people were walking by on the other side where it would, like, you know, some sort of shadow blocking the light underneath the door where everything else is dark. And then, God damn it. Now I gotta go look, because I know no one's in there. And of course, no one is. And that's a fucking bummer.
That's eerie, though.
The worst... That house was, like, scary as fuck all around. The whole back of the house was all windows. And it went out to the backyard, which was... We had a pool, and it was, like, oleander bushes that went all the way around. And so it was just pitch black out there. And it was all windows on the whole side of the house, and you had no fucking choice but to look out there all night long and shit your pants, wondering what was out there. When in actuality, it was probably fucking meth heads back there. Those were my dad's friends, but...
Jittering. That scratch, like...
Yeah.
Still.
It's a crazy house, man. They fucking... I went by there not too long ago. They burned half of it down.
Yeah?
Yeah, whoever moved in. Fucking burn the house down. That's crazy.
That's like the one drug. Between that and heroin, like, absolutely, it, like, scares the fuck out of me. Like, just the visions, like, just the fact you're not sleeping for 4 days and your brain has to, like, well, I have to dream in order to regenerate, so I'm gonna pump this into your brain right now, so you're gonna, like...
It's like, having a conversation with someone who's on meth and has been up for 3 days is, like, you can't even imagine the kind of thoughts that they're having that generate the words that they're saying. It's all fucking nonsense and paranoia, and it's such a trip. And especially since, like, everyone I saw when I was a kid was that. Like, seeing it now just gives me the fucking chills, man. I hate it. Hate it so much. And then, like, although I can't say it was, like, terrible, because my dad had, like, there's nothing quite as genius as, like, tweaker ingenuity. They could build anything out of anything. So my dad built this, like, he would, like, disassemble a lawnmower and we'd have a functional fucking race car in 3 days. And we had, like, go-karts with, like, you know, full fucking engines on them. And then my dad would just weld on little kiddie pedals that, like, that we could reach. And we'd be going fucking 50 down our cul-de-sac.
It's crazy, too, like, how they move things. Where it's, like, you have, like, a pile. Then the pile's, like, on that side of the house.
Yeah.
And then the pile's going to go back to where it was.
But it's still the pile.
Somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah.
But the pile's, like, always moving.
Yeah, no real progress, but it's still the same pile. It's just in a different spot. It's fucking crazy, man. Yeah, that shit trips me out. I was, like, trying to explain that to the ex. Like, on heroin, like, you ever seen anyone do, like, the heroin lean? Where they fucking are high enough that they're falling over, but they don't ever fall.
No,
so,
no.
Dude, just YouTube, heroin like, lean. Dope lean or something right. Like that, where it's something about heroin that, like, you almost are totally unconscious standing up, but your legs and your knees just won't let it happen. And they're like, you're at a physically impossible angle where there's no way that your body could possibly be holding itself up, and they just don't ever fall down. It's fucking crazy. And so, like, we drove by someone doing that shit, you know, like, you know, downtown Fremont or whatever. And she was like, look, what is that? And I was like, that's the dope lean. They never seen
the dope lean. She's on the DL. Yeah. I mean, down low.
So I had to, like, YouTube. And then we came across, like, compilations on YouTube of people, like, lean. All the way over. And there's, like, if you did it right now, there's no way you'd be able to stand up. And this person is fucking whacked out of their mind on heroin, and their feet will just not leave the ground. There's just some sort of gravitational pull associated with heroin that no one knows what it's
like. I will not go down.
Yeah.
I will not go quietly into the night. To quote Bill Pullman, the greatest president ever.
Okay, is that Independence Day?
I think so. I hope so.
Was that a nice little stutter I had there? Yeah.
Yeah, this is our Independence Day, yeah.
We will not go quietly into the night.
That's what they need to upload on that shit. As a background, like, set music or something. Bunch of people high as fuck, leaning.
Yeah,
and then Bill Pullman giving a patriotic
inspirational
speech.
Inspirational, like, we will not give up no matter what. And it's really all about their ankles. That was fucking funny, man. It was cool talking to everybody last night about, you know, everybody getting sober and...
Yeah.
Not that too many of us needed to get sober, but there was a couple of us that really needed it, you know? So,
everyone's got to go through their own thing.
Yeah?
It's just really, really, really good when they decide, like, hey, I've had too much. And you're like, 100%, you need anything, man.
Yeah. Like, I posted that thing on Facebook where it just makes me so fucking happy when my friends are doing good. And, like, we've got friends, like, in every area of the spectrum where... Some of the people who were my best friends growing up are absolute fucking losers now. And a lot of other people, like, got friends becoming fucking doctors and nurses and running their own businesses and all kinds of crazy shit. So, and it just makes me so fucking happy to see my friends doing well. And, like, it legitimately puts a smile on my face. And it's awesome. Especially people who, like, where we all partied kind of hard and... You kind of look around the room and you're like, I wonder what's going to happen to these people. Because there's not a lot of promise here.
Sometimes you're like, kind of lay on the couch and everyone's like, knocked out. And you're like, oh, that.
And you look around and you're like, damn, are we going to make it?
Where's this going to go?
Yeah, fuck, I don't know. It turns out that, we will make it.
That's one thing I'll give, like, my parents and all that, like, coming out of the 70s. I'm like, I don't understand how the hell you fuckers made that shit out. Like... Going from, like, oh, happy, like, innocent, hippie times to, like, let's go do some heroin, do some lines of coke, and go dance and fuck, man. It's pretty crazy. All of a sudden, like, babies pop out, and then it's like, oh, shit, welcome to the real world.
Yeah, like, yeah, lots of like, coke and party babies, for sure. But it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, hard, like... It's like all their moans died before 50. That's, like, the wag bag. I kind of think of it.
It's great for me, like, when I look back and, like, you're like, yeah, I used to party super hard. And then, like, and it turns out you had, like, 10 beers in one night and you were trash and, like, everybody was laughing and everything. And then you watch a documentary about, like, Guns N' Roses and,
like, yeah. Doing, like, yeah.
Doing pounds of heroin in a week.
Like, I gotta get up. Let's do a speedball, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Instead of a fucking morning cup of coffee, they're, like, just fucking injecting meth into their fucking veins in order to just to, like, feel okay for the morning.
The whole, that's one thing I've been, like, with Chris Cornell and all that shit, like, it's so crazy to, like, look at the 90s, I'm like, what a depressing, drugged out fucking era.
It's crazy, man. All that,
it's in the music.
All that suicide shit, I don't know. I'm conflicted on it. I'm conflicted on all my real
I think it's the best route, though. Yeah. I don't trust someone who's like, no, this is the way.
Like, yeah, setting their ways. Sure? No, man. I feel like, I've got pretty strong convictions that I have a lot of doubts about.
That's a shirt.
Yeah.
Someone print that up. Whoever's listening, another thing to put.
Yeah. Write that down. Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm on, like, that kick of, like, I don't understand the selfishness of doing that to everyone else to ease your own pain and causing pain in so many other people's lives. But I also have been in the mindset where, like, I cannot handle this.
Yeah.
You know, I wish you all the best, but I'm fucking checking out of this hotel. You know, but I don't know. I haven't decided. I guess it's all circumstantial. I think that's
the best part of getting older, though, is, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like,
I think I don't know is the most important possible thing you could ever fucking say. Because anybody who does know is a goddamn liar.
Yeah.
About anything.
Shit. Yeah.
You may know some. You don't know everything.
I don't want to know everything. That's when you stop growing, too.
Too sure about anything.
Yeah.
Fucking question your own shit. You stop learning when you're sure.
Yeah, that's the part that scares me. It's like, there's no growth anymore. Like, yeah. You know.
That's what gets me about religion, is they're sure. And then there's zero growth from that.
Yeah, the answer is already there in, like, a little neat package.
Why look for it when you got a little handbook right here that gives you all the answers? You don't have to do any real work to find out. You probably didn't even read the fucking book anyway.
Yeah.
You heard somebody else tell you what the answer was, and you just assume that was it. It's fucking crazy. For me, I don't find... Again, another thing I'm conflicted in. Because I don't know about the whole God thing, but... I've called myself an atheist for a long time, but... again, I finish everything, yeah, but I don't really know. Yeah, but I don't find any comfort in it. Nothing about the thought of a, like, creator that watches over anyone brings me any comfort at all. And in fact, it makes me uncomfortable to think about that.
What about, like, pantheism?
Where, like, a god is everything type of a thing?
Yeah.
Like, God is...
Everything.
Just is.
Yeah, it just is.
I don't know.
Because that makes, to me, that elevates science.
I'm less opposed to that, but I think...
It's very anti-Abraham faith, like Abrahamic ideas.
I'm also anti-Abraham, yeah. But I don't know. I think if you're going to call the space that we live in, the universe, it has a name. The word God carries a lot of baggage that doesn't necessarily need to be there. When
yeah.
you're talking about everything that we know to be. And so, I mean, the universe has a name. It's the universe. It's what we know. It's everything that encompasses everything that is available to us. And I don't have an opinion on what could be outside of that, or if that's even a possibility to talk about.
Yeah.
There may not be anything outside of that. Or there may be a fucking infinite amount of other universes surrounding that, I don't know. It's weird.
Like,
the multiverse theory is pretty cool. The
multiverse is insane.
My dad always talks about his, like... I don't know, he's, like, a Fox News fanatic now, so... He's, like... he's, like, this weird conspiracy theorist-leaning Christian right-wing guy now. But he doesn't believe in the whole, like, Christian thing. I think it's just more of, like... He wants to be on the team.
It's like, I like Christ.
yeah. done. Like Buddy Christ off of Dogma. Yeah. He like comes up in the plane. And you're like, yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wink.
Yeah, don't. That's my biggest thing, is I don't find any comfort in it. And that doesn't point to any real definitive answer on whether anything's real or not, but it...
I think my biggest gripe with Western religion is the idea that man's above nature.
Yeah,
that's... That to me is, like, egotistic and, like, really, like... That it's insane to believe that, because nature could fuck us up.
Yeah, like well... That. Sam Harris put that into perspective for me on how we gauge what lives tend to matter more than others, and like, and you know, and how we eat meat, and, yeah. and how we treat the environment and everything. And he said the level of psychological experience that a being can have directly relates to not necessarily their worth, but it relates to how well they need to be treated in the world, I guess. So, like, whereas some people are so anti, and you know, killing animals and things, but they're more than happy to fucking stomp on a bug, you know, those two things, it makes sense because of the level of emotional experience that certain animals can have based on their brain size. And
I think Jorgen said the same thing, where it's like there's a hierarchy.
There is. Oh, there's absolutely
like,
a hierarchy.
Yeah, he's like, some things are beautiful, like a whale. But then that cockroach walks in, and you gotta fucking kill that damn thing, or a spider. That's one thing I'll give the genes. Like, some Eastern thought, it could go, like, all the way where it's like, I respect life. It's where I'll die for it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't eat. They have the mask covering their face. They walk with the broom in front of them that pushes out bugs.
Yeah, they've got the fucking the cloths that don't breathe in a bug. They watch for every step. Yeah.
Was it ahimsa, nonviolence, like to the nth degree?
Yeah, that's another Sam Harris thought where he's talking about how it's not necessarily religious ideas that do the thing. It's like the extreme ideology in any direction is terrible, but the crazier you get as a Jain, the less dangerous you are. Yeah.
Or so Buddhists or something. Yeah, I remember talking a lot about Buddhism. Hinduism could be the same, but Hindu nationalism could also be really, really, really bad.
I don't really know anything about it. I'm kind of ignorant.
Like, Hindu nationalists, like, there's a movie called Water, and she was talking about, like, basically, like, this girl, the premise of the story was basically the girl's, like, 8, 10, and she married a guy, and then he died. And they went to the widow house in Varanasi. Part of the problems of being in the widow house is they use it for prostitution to help fund the widow's, like, house.
Whoa.
And a guy ends up sleeping with a freaking 8-year-old kid to 10-year-old kid. And in between all this, Gandhi's coming up. In the end of the movie, I never stood up in a theater and was like, get the fuck on that train. I was like shouting at the screen. I was like, get the fuck on the train.
That's crazy.
It's for a Bollywood movie, but they try to kill the girl for making it because it brought up the past. Just like fundamental.
Yeah, the untouchable ideologies that were like, kind of swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
talking about Nazism in Germany will get you fucking in trouble.
Yeah, that's like Charlottesville. The same day, a guy got drunk and did a Nazi salute, and they beat the fuck out of him. Yeah. Rightly so.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
I don't know. That's another thing that I'm like conflicted about is like the freedom of speech, but I'm also total fucking consequences on the shit that you have to say.
Yeah.
You're free to say it, but be ready for the fucking ramifications on it.
Why the Jews?
Dude.
I don't get that shit. Why the Jews?
I don't get how fucking Americans In any number, like, it could be the fucking smallest faction of fucking any group in the country, but how can you adopt an ideology like Nazism and kind of like, yeah, you know, not so much the whole Jew murdering thing, but everything else they had to say was okay. Like,
yeah, the supremacy of the white race, the white Aryan race. I like, too, like, some of them were taking, like, those blood, like, lineage tests where you, like, put your... The drop in your...
Oh, yeah, and it turns out like that they weren't as white as they thought they were. Yeah. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. Hey, kid, go study the Talmud. All right, shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh. I love shit like that, man. That's fucking great.
That's that thing, though, like, I know. I'm like, no, you don't. Calm the fuck down. Everybody calm the fuck down.
You think. You don't know. Yeah. You fucking moron.
I always think of George Carlin, where he's like, Jesus, love each other. Dead.
Yeah.
Gandhi, love each other. Shot him. John Lennon, love each other. Got him, too. But yeah, that there's a lot of things that are like, I just wish people would just accept the idea of human, like being another human. I know, like I say a lot on this, but it's so basic that I don't get how people like you're fuck you. I'm like, wait.
I don't get a lack of empathy that some people have.
Yeah, like,
because I think for me that is like almost like my baseline top emotion. That's, like that yeah. feeds into every reaction I have to situations. It's what I do in the situation that they're being presented
with. That's why, like with Sam Harris, like I love how he pushed that idea of like, you gotta care and be empathetic and have sympathy. Like it's just part of being better without anything being in the back of your mind. Like it's just part of being a better person.
Yeah. For me, I just don't understand how some people don't have empathy for other things. Like, in my mind, it almost seems like you have to work at not caring about people. Because to me, it just comes so naturally where I don't understand how anyone could put them or not put themselves in a position that someone else is presented with and judge them solely on their actions and have zero remorse for what might happen. Or I don't get it.
I think a lot of people have that idea, too, of, like, I gotta get up, man. I gotta get my shit up. I gotta become, like, I gotta be famous. I gotta get the job. I gotta get the girl. I gotta live this status. And, like, I'm gonna, fuck everybody. I gotta get mine. And it's such a
rare thing. That's crazy to me because I have those feelings, too, where, like, I'm in a constant state of needing to move forward. I can't stay stagnant and everything. I'm in a constant state of needing to learn more and do more and have more responsibility in certain things that I like doing, but I like to take people along with me. Like, I'm doing good, and we're going to have you do good too, you know?
That's the difference, like, instead of, like,
I don't like to tell people that I'm doing good if they're not doing good. Like, it's even to that level.
I agree 100%, because I hate that shit, where you're like,
because I've never really done good before. So now that I am doing really well, like, well, I don't know, most everybody is doing well now. That is important to me.
Even though you've had a shit ton of, like, things come up, I always thought you did good.
I had my moments, just like everybody else.
Yeah. But I mean, like, on the whole scheme of life, I thought everything was just...
Yeah, I mean...
From my point of view, which... But then again, I don't know.
That's one of the things that, I have a lot of pride in, is... And that's kind of another thing that makes me mad. Like, I hear other people who use excuses about their bad life in order to justify the shitty things that they do or the bad decisions that they make. And, like, there's a couple people I work with where, like, I have to, like... I've almost had to tell them a few times, like, if you think you've had a bad life, if you want to sit down for a second, I could tell you a few stories that would really fuck you up and you're going to feel
really
like
quick.
A bitch.
Really quick. Yeah, that's one thing... I don't know if this is going to sound weird, but, like, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, dude, that's like, so good. Because that's what I like to tell people. I, like, when I see people doing good, like, I'm so fucking proud of you. That's what I told Matt and Hannah yesterday. Like, you know, both of them seem to think, you know, we're not doing all that great. But in my opinion, like, you guys are doing incredible. You know, you got kids. You know, Matt's doing the whole art thing, and where everything he does is fucking amazing.
That's one reason I want to get him on, because I want to push.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, yeah, art... You got a website. Dude, market it. Yeah. Come on, man. Like, that's one thing I want to use this for, is like...
Yeah, that dude's one of the most talented guys I've ever met in my life.
Let's push it. Like, tell more people. Like, don't be... Like, I'm anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. You know those fucking people who are just good at everything and it just pisses you off? Matt is that guy. Like, he's fucking good at everything.
That makes... Yeah, you too. And that drives me nuts. You pick up a guitar and it's like... Then you, like, started painting and I was like, oh... Gonna watch Manhunt, another old school watching you play Manhunt.
Oh, that's my favorite.
It was Manhunt 2, if I remember.
I forgot about that. That's fun. Yesterday we were kind of going through all the, like, the memories of playing in the band and stuff back in the trailer where the first bit of recordings we had, like, but it was really funny because both me and Matt were like just absolutely embarrassed by the music and yeah. that we, you know, when we go back and listen to it, and we're like, we were god awful. But people, like, people ask for our autograph and like shit like that. We're like, what the fuck? And there were certain pictures of all of us together that were really important, and one of them was there's a between like me, Corey, Matt, and Tyler sitting at an elementary school. We hung out in a playground on at that little elementary school on the corner right by the trailers.
Yeah,
over on DI yeah. and Ellis, and we would just go hang out there at night and like wander back in to my mom making coffee at 5 a.m. She's like, "Hi, welcome back." And like, there was that, and then we played a show at a church with like, it was a She Turned Us Into Trees thing, and then they had like a some benefit thing where like a bunch of bands played.
They were playing like everywhere
at they one were point. So much fun.
Yeah,
those they were shows like, were so much fun.
Semi big in Las
yeah,
Vegas.
Yeah, they were huge.
I remember like the picture Natara took was used on their album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
The one where it's like lifted.
Yeah.
She's got such an eye for it, but she like, I don't. I'm like,
She oh, always
got
took
such a good eye on
she always took
photography.
Such amazing pictures back in the day, man. Because she had a really nice camera and everything back in the day, and she took really great pictures.
She's got,
even of herself, like
yeah.
just the pictures she had of herself were fucking gorgeous all the
I've
time.
I've been trying to like push her back into it. I'm like, you have the eye, like you can
she
you
really
see
does,
things
man.
In a way
she,
that
yeah.
it's
she
a
had
photo.
Some really great photos back in the day. But yeah, we were talking about that just being one of the most amazing times in our lives where we had. We didn't really have shit, but we also had everything we kind of wanted at the time.
If you really think about it, too, it's like the last time. Well, it was not the last time, but to me, that was like Las Vegas had a scene.
It was huge. The,
like
the local scene was big, and I'm so fucking excited to be a part of it. And it wasn't even like we were a part of it. It's like,
you know, like you were booking shows with bands from like other states. And
yeah, we were like, the only thing we didn't do is go on a tour that we really wanted to go on. I think that was the time that Matt left. I think that's what we were talking about yesterday. And, I don't know, I think it was a good move for everybody at the time.
What did he play? Was he guitar? Or was he bass?
I was guitar. He was bass. Corey did the vocals, and Tyler was drums. And then, when they came back, Matt was guitar. Trey was bass. Akira was vocals, and then Tyler on the drums. They were pretty fucking good then, too.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I'm sure they look back on it and think it's fucking terrible. But, I mean, I don't know. That was the first time I got to see something that, not necessarily that I was a part of, but, like, I had a spot in the fucking, the upward transition of Decepticide. And, like, seeing it from an outside perspective, it was fucking fun. So, maybe I do get a little bit why people liked us. Because we flopped around like idiots and we just made it look
I think it's
cool.
Idiots, but I think if the passion's there.
Yeah, you were into
like,
it.
Yeah, as long as it's like 100%, people will feel it and react if it's 100%.
Yeah, and that's what everybody told us. Like, all the guys from, God, what was the name? Burn Caroline Burn was a big one. Caravels. And,
Caravels is...
Yeah, and they, great. You know, they all told us, like, they told us when we sucked, too, like...
They still have a CD in Zia's.
No shit?
I think so.
Man, I might have to go steal that. Caravels was so fucking good, man. Those dudes were really fucking talented.
Destroy Operating Systems, too.
Oh, they were insane.
Yeah, definitely. Throw them out there.
Yeah.
A bear, you're welcome to this podcast anytime. You probably don't even remember me or know me, but it'd be fun to talk with that guy.
They were crazy talented, man.
Yeah, it was a two-piece.
He's still pumping out music, yeah. Yeah, at that point.
Yeah, that's why I saw him was a two-piece, and I was like, holy shit, yeah.
I saw him when they had four... Well, when we played with them originally, they
yeah.
had four guys. And it was...
I think I saw him at... what's it? It used to be like that deserted house down Ellis.
Eastside
Joe's?
Yeah. That was a sick-ass venue.
That was,
if you could call
with
it that.
The skate ramp and
where
everything.
Where it was just a fucking dilapidated home covered top to bottom in graffiti with a fucking skate ramp in it. Like, it was the epitome of, like,
punk
a
rock.
Punk rock
yeah.
fucking
Nothing but badass bands hanging
out. Yeah, in a big, like, 1 acre plot of dirt.
Yeah, it was just like, this you old went through the house dirt.
Without even a front door.
You just walked in, and there's beer, and
there just happened
great.
To be power.
Yeah.
Enough for a couple amps. That place was
that's
really
like
great.
Straight up. That would be like part of my Kevin Smith movie if I ever got to write one. It's like, we're going to Eastside Joe's, bro. Like, what? What? Eastside Joe's.
It was kind of short lived, but man, it was. That was the spot. Just the Set This Out show was really fucking great. I don't know if you made it to that one, but it was.
I was.
Were you not around at that time? Or?
I think I knew you, but I was. I didn't realize how innocent of a life I've lived until recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was always in my room. Most of the time, I was in my room listening to, like, Captain Beefheart, you know?
Being a fucking weirdo. As I was telling Matt yesterday, because he mentioned in our conversation that you hit him up to do the podcast, and he just hasn't been able to talk to you about it. And I told him, fucking do it, man. He'll have a lot of fun talking to you. And he was like, we were talking about, like, us in high school, and he was like, yeah, Frank was kind of weird in high school. And we were like, yeah, he had the fucking, the blazer, and the briefcase, and the fucking
long hair.
Jesus hair, and then, like,
that was me. That's all I
cared
exactly. about. I was like,
that's exactly what I was looking for. Didn't really, like, not very many people can say, I don't give a shit what people think. I'm living my life. What do you care? That was great. I fucking loved it.
Yeah, that part was like, I don't want to wear fucking tight pants, like, and get my hair cut, and, like, and wear a shitload of gel.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I just didn't fit in at the time. I was like, I'm just gonna go, and I don't know what's gonna happen, but
and then that turned into a conversation of, like, us picking you up from the shack, and you come out, and you'd be sitting there with, like, this huge plastic cup with a white Russian in it or something. That was, like, the biggest white Russian anyone's ever seen every time we saw you.
That was my mom's evil doing. She turned me on to that. She's like, oh, yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah, and then you had, like, gallon.
And then I'd be, like, pounding it, and I'm like, oh, man, this is the best.
Yeah.
That's when I could hold my greatness in. But now I'm like, I'd probably, if I drank that, I'd either throw up or the hangover would be, like.
I kind of felt like a fucking, like an Anki yesterday a little bit, where I had, like, 10 Jameson and ginger ales, and I was having, you know, I get a little loud and I say obnoxious shit, but.
But nah. You're in Vegas with friends?
Yeah, like, but I didn't even get that trash. Yeah. And everybody was like, dude, are you all right? Yeah, man, I'm done. I'm having so much fun.
Yeah. My question is, are you all right? It comes up. You're kind of like, am I too loud? But that when that line's in, though, you're like, fuck everything.
Matt, Matt had like two drinks, and he was like, yeah, I think you've had five since I've been here, dude. And I was like, oh.
Don't judge me.
I don't drink very often. Like, oh, let me have my time.
I'm on vacation, right? That's why.
This is what people do when they come to Vegas. It doesn't matter that I lived here my whole goddamn life. Now I get to come to Vegas.
I get to experience this town for once.
Goddamn right.
Get off my back. You remember that time?
Yeah, we were talking yesterday about, like, that was that whole, like, yeah, I partied super hard, but not really. We partied pretty hard. Nobody did any crazy drugs or anything, but we drank a bunch. And there were a lot of times that we really should have been in a ton of trouble, and we weren't. We never got in trouble, ever. Not even close. And it blew us all away, where we were like, we could have all been arrested so many times, and rightfully so, thrown in the goddamn jail, and we never even got close.
Yeah.
Never even got close to getting in trouble. It's fucking crazy. It all turned out all right, though. You know, nobody was like, no, I don't want to say nobody. Everybody had a little substance abuse problem there for a second.
A lot of people. I'm definitely guilty of that when it came to drinking.
We all are. Yeah, I mean.
No, I'm saying I am owning up to it 100%.
Well, fuck, man. When I had that heart thing, I had the pills were my deal. I didn't really tell anybody for a long time, but I was pretty fucked up. Yeah, I was, like, buying pills from my friends, and then I decided, like, I can't do this, can't go down that road, and when I finally stopped, that week that I decided I'm not doing these anymore was brutal. Like, withdrawals are the most horrendous fucking thing. We're like, you're like shitting and puking and sweating.
It's kind of like withdrawing off heroin, right?
Cause it's so like bad. It's an opiate, yeah. I was doing Percocets. I was doing like five a night. Like, I'd be ready to fucking go to bed. I'd pop five of them. And even, I don't know, some people do a ton more, but for me, it was a lot. And
there's a dude I was hanging out with, and his thing was like, yeah, I do some Percocets, and I take a Xanny bar, and then I smoke a bunch of weed, and I'm like, are fucked up, and I cannot, like, but it was, like, that part of, like, where, like, you're kind of, like, we're talking about, like, the lean.
Yeah. And that, like, dude, that's what was happening to me, where I would take them and sit on the couch, and I would just drool on myself, and I would need it, it hurt so fucking bad all the time. My heart, you know, had those heart problems, and it hurt all day, every day for a year and a half, where I couldn't even get out of bed sometimes. So I was just down in these pain pills, hoping that it would make me feel okay enough to even make it through the night and sleep a little bit. But I was just drooling on myself, and I didn't really tell anybody, really. I don't know who knew. Maybe Jen knew a little bit, because she was around, but I kind of hid it from her, too. But I was fucked up. The only people who knew were the people I was buying the pills from. Yeah, I was fucked up.
Even, I don't know, with my family's history with that stuff, like, even when I get migraines, I get too paranoid. Like, and they gave me a ton of stuff to, like, kill the pain, but, like, I'd rather do this and go to bed.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, like, with the loss of my uncle and just seeing what it does to people, I was like, what happened? And then they're like, I'm like, really? It's an epidemic for a reason.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Everybody told me it was so easy to get pills, but I had a goddamn hard time. Pissed off. But, yeah, I'm so glad that, like, it's one thing I pride myself on is I know, like, I am,
especially
I can accept a flaw and know when it needs to be changed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't make excuses for myself. So if I fuck up, I know I fucked up and I need to change it. That's one of my, like, most important things that I, like, kind of hold dear in what goes into the psyche of me.
One thing I will give growing up on the east side is it kind of, I don't know about you, but, like, you, being around it, you kind of know when you hit that level. I'm like, wait a second, I got a backup. I'm
living too close to my roots here.
Yeah.
I need to fucking, like, break the chain here.
Yeah. Because there's, that side now is, like, considerably worse from what I've heard.
Dude, I can't even go near it.
I don't blame you at all. I
hate it.
I understand. I'd say, like, you probably want to burn that fucker down.
The whole side of town, like, I get near Sam's Town,
And
it makes me want to throw up. Like, I get nauseous. And I can't even go into that side of town. I hate everything about it. It's fucking crazy.
It's fucking expected. You went through some shit, son.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fuck. Like, and just going back there just to pick up Lucy from my dad's, and then going down, I'm always like,
yeah, I hate it.
Thank you, Natara, because I think I'd probably, like, still be on that side of town in some weird way. That woman forced me to grow up, and I am thankful.
That's one thing, like, I've got, you know, everything happened the way it did with my ex, but
she didn't force me, but she helped me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Force is a strong word.
I've got a lot of things to say about everything else that happened and the way it happened, but I am where I am because of a little bit of a push.
A little nudge.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'll give, like the Wu-Tang Manual. I love reading that book on the crapper. Like, it's such a good poop read. But they go through, like, he's a 5%er, and the 5%er is a mystical offshoot of the Nation of Islam. Which is where men are gods and women are the earth. And they have everything on the alphabet is representative of attributes of God. It's like a weird, and then so is the numbers.
And this is what?
This is an offshoot of the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
Called the 5%ers, nations of the God and the earth. And the Wu-Tang, once you start listening to, like, once you start, like, getting into, like, what they call building and all that stuff, and you start listening to Wu-Tang lyrics, they drop so many 5%, like, 5%ers, like,
really?
Things, concepts and stuff. But in the Wu-Tang Manual, he goes into it deep. But W is for woman, and wisdom. And if you get a good woman, she should bring you wisdom.
Oh, absolutely.
And help you grow.
Absolutely.
Like, that's why they call their women their whiz. Because it's part of the 5%er mindset.
Yeah. Yes.
But their thing, too, is like, I think one is, I think it's knowledge, two is understanding, three is power. So if you gain any knowledge, and then once you understand it, 1 + 2 = 3, 3 has to be power. Because if you gain the knowledge and you start to understand it, you can actually put it into motion and use it. And that gives you power as a person. Everything adds up in a way. Zero, it's 1 through 9, 0. But they made this little system that, it's fun. It's pretty cool. I'd love to build with the Wu-Tang before I die.
That's great. That's a little profound for the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, they get deep. It gets crazy. Yeah, the RZA is the abbot for a reason.
That's crazy.
And Mos Def, Erykah Badu, like the Soul Aquarians and the Wu-Tang, and God, the album is it's an Afro pick, but but it's such a good album. If you want, if you get into that type of like jazz hip hop, or it's like,
you know, what I've been listening to a lot again lately is Blackstar.
Blackstar is freaking crazy good.
It's an insane.
Yeah,
like,
and it's just a one and done, man.
Storyteller type hip hop. I really like a lot.
Old school.
Yeah,
like, I love hip hop. Rap to me is like where I'm kind of like, I'd rather be a b-boy. I'll have the Adidas jumpsuit doing graffiti. Yeah, listening to my Boogie Down Productions.
You look like Ali G.
Oh yeah, no, I leave my hair the same. I look like Garth in the commercial. Some people do whatever they want for, like, money, and that's not us. Like, yeah, I'd definitely be more Garth than anything. But yeah, that's, like, old school hip-hop right now is, like, Boogie Down Productions always gets paid. Like, give me some KRS-One any day of the week.
KRS-One's really good. But yeah, like, back to what we were talking about before. That's one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately, because my mind's a little bit fucked up, and I'm still kind of in a recovery stage. But having to think that I was pushed to grow up by somebody else is kind of a interesting thing. Like, it's one of the things it's weird to be mature in some aspects of your personality and completely ignorant and left out of that world in others. So where I was like supporting my whole family at 18 and busting my ass and working 80 hours a week and everything, and then not having a serious relationship until into my fucking early 20s, having to figure out how to, I mean, caring about somebody to a point that it's just they're my everything is kind of was just a natural reaction for me. But taking things for granted and not seeing things that were done for me that, you know, that I needed to work on, where, like, showing appreciation for things that were done that maybe weren't, flashy and out there, but, you know, small things. So, I have a lot to say about how shitty everything really was, where I didn't really realize it, because I was crazy in love with someone that I thought was someone that I guess they really weren't, but, you know, credit where credit is due
on that thing.
Pointing me in a direction that was positive, you know, whether or not it was for good reasons or not, you know. I think, like, I see now where it's absolutely insane to me where so many of my friends look at somebody I was with and were like, dude, we didn't
want to say anything.
We didn't want to say anything, but we weren't comfortable with the person you were bringing around. And we weren't comfortable with it because we love you. And, like, she just wasn't giving everybody an impression of a real person who really did mean well. And I see that now. Like, it's things that I'm totally blind to throughout the entirety of our relationship. And then when I finally take a step back and I can look at it from almost an outside perspective, I see all these situations that we went through where I can say to myself, like, holy shit, I would never do that to you, or I would never say that to you. And it was a really, really horrible, I don't want to say horrible, because she never did anything deliberately to fuck my life up. And on most days, she was great. But there were certain things that she was just so self-involved, and it was, the decisions she made to better me were in her best interests. So, that bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see someone exceed to make them happy in what they're doing.
Yeah, you want to see them grow, you want to see them, like, become the person they want to be.
Yeah, and so there were times where we were talking about how I was going to make it through school, and then land the dream job, and then I'm the fucking breadwinner, and she goes to school. And it just, I don't know. There were times where, like when I lost my job at Spirit, and we were separated. Like, she broke up with me almost to be, like, I don't know. I look at myself now, and I wonder how anyone could tell me that I don't have any drive or real want to do better in life. Because I feel like always been my thing. Like, maybe I've had small lapses in motivation, but it's really just to a fucking absolute broken mind, and I just, give me a minute and I'll be out of it. And we split up, and I was told on a regular basis that I was not the person that she fell in love with, and that I had lost all my drive, and there was no show of any real motivation or...
Just crazy.
And yeah, and I think about that now, because I felt that then. I was like, I'm a piece of shit, and I need to get my ass in gear and get this shit together so I can take care of my life and the people who are important to me. And then that lasted a pretty short amount of time. You know, any amount of time where money does damage if you don't have it to anything. So that causes a lot of stress, and I totally get it. But I think it was the way it came about. And when it got to a point where she was hurt and didn't have money, I was there, and I spent every dollar of my savings taking care of her. And I don't regret it at all. Even now that I have, like, the negative feelings that I do, and I don't even really have negative feelings at this point. I went through a phase of, like, real fucking animosity. Yeah. Like, how could you do this to me? But in actuality, like, if you don't fucking love someone, there's no reason to stick around. And I'm glad it happened when it did. Not necessarily how it did.
You missed a big bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was so much better than, like, what if she was pregnant? Or what if she moved, married, or moved out to Chicago with me and took away what was essentially my saving grace of getting out of this town. Like, that could have been taken away from me, and I could have been miserable because she was miserable. And so, in some sense, I'm glad that, you know, you can't knock her for not having balls to say, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm out. So, like I said, I'm not necessarily stoked on how it happened, but that it happened, I think is positive on probably both sides. You know, if she found someone who's awesome, cool, and, you know, wish her the best. But, and I'm kind of getting to that point now. There are certain things that are happening lately that upset me because I now have nothing to do with her, and it's still affecting my life. But, I don't know. It's weird to love someone. That's one thing that's tough for me, is when someone is your everything for so long, and you're able to just decide that you're not going to talk to that person anymore.
It's done.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's really crazy, where I see you every day, and I have to, I you're the first person I talk to when I wake up, and you're the last person I talk to before I go to sleep, and now I don't talk to you. And there was no tapering down.
Did you ever watch Amy Schumer's first stand-up?
No, I can't.
There's a part where she's like, I was young and I was in love, and then I hit about 30 and I was like, what are all these sad songs? Then I broke up. And it made sense, like, so why funny. There's so many sad songs in this world.
Yeah, yeah, it's horrible. Like, I was trying to explain it to a few people. It's like, I had a friend at work who was, like, having some relationship problems, and I told him, like, I've seen so many people that I love fucking looking back at me from a casket that it just fucking, it's unexplainable. And, I lost my whole fucking train of thought. I don't know where I was going with this.
I don't know how you did it.
Dude,
I have no clue. Because I don't know, like, if the shoe was on my feet, I don't think I could walk the whole mile. I don't know what.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how you did it.
I
go through, but I mean, you go through this shit where, like, I almost forgot we're actually recording this, but for people who don't,
for people who don't know,
you know, my brother died in a way that was pretty horrible, and looking at him in a casket where we couldn't even have an open casket because he did not look well. I had nightmares from seeing him.
Very young.
Yeah, 2 years younger than me.
He was like 8.
20, he'd be 26 now. It was just his birthday less than 2 weeks ago. And 1 year and 3 days later.
The worst thing ever. That's all I would say. Just leave it there.
Oh, fuck it. Talk about what it is. You know, my mom raped and murdered and left to die in a trash can. And then seeing all of that on video. Like, that's things that I've been through that are awful. And getting your heart ripped out by a fucking woman who you love is so much worse. And it's almost selfish to say that because those things are so terrible, but you don't expect
the love's there.
Everybody dies.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the way you hope they might, but everybody dies. You don't expect someone who you think is the most important person in your life and who cares about you more than anybody else cares about you.
The trust and love
to rip your heart out.
Is like the part where you're like, I trust and love you.
Yeah, you were like, that was the thing that just killed me, is like, I thought about you before I thought about anything else. Everything I did think about was prefaced with, what would you think about this? I've seen a videotape of my mom being murdered, and that hurt worse. And it's crazy to say that. But
it's crazy to hear it. But, like, it's heartbreak, though. Heartbreak is, especially, like, it's such a personal, like, both, like, I can't say it. I don't know. But
God, me and you have had some serious heartbreak conversation in the past.
Yeah.
So we've both come to the understanding that it is just the worst fucking thing in the world.
The betrayal of it all.
Exactly. That's what really hurts, is you.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no sense of, like, a couple years, you're kind of like, you're like, fuck you.
Yeah. I mean, in my
little bit of self-destruction.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, I gotta get through the day, but I don't really want to. Yeah. But
there's no sense of
fucking sucks.
Real, like, betrayal. I mean, there's an immense sense of loss, obviously, with a loss of a family member. It's been a decade since I didn't go to a funeral every year. It's 10 years since I've skipped a year on a funeral.
I was thinking about this. This is going to sound weird, but I was just thinking about this randomly, and this is like weeks ago. This is for you, like, you're getting it early, but there's going to be the part where your friends are going to have to go through it.
Yeah.
And because you're like,
I think, and that's one thing I pride myself on, is then
it's
I
a
have
weird thing to say.
No, I have a perspective that I can offer to people now.
Yeah.
That not a lot of people have.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that I'm conflicted on. Like, holy shit, things were shitty, but other people had a shittier, so why are you bitching? You know, like,
I
I'm in that, like, you know, that whole saying of, like, you know, kids are starving in Africa. Like, that, I have that legitimate thought when I'm like, goddamn, life sucks. But kids are starving in Africa. Yeah. Like, that's, I remember, like, I don't know, something about the thought behind that.
I told that to Will, and he's like, here, send this to them. I was like, I was joking. like the idea.
There is,
like, go send it to them.
There's a bit of genius in that.
Yeah.
As much as I don't want to say that.
No, it's true, though.
Yeah.
If you give a shit,
yeah,
go fucking do something.
If you've got the convictions, fucking put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. With art is the same thing, because I'll sit there and spew, like, this should be like this. Well, what are you
fucking
doing?
Fucking do it, man. Yeah. Where's your part in all that action? Yeah.
It's hard. I have to work.
I'm tired when I come home.
That's what's best about podcasts. I just talk with people and learn things, and then hopefully help them learn something.
I talk to talk, and then I plan on
and
eventually walking the walk.
Yeah, when I don't have to worry about going to work and the bills
when
and
I'm
all
not,
that shit.
When I'm like, not tired all the time. That's what I'm told. I have a lot of
mountain of debt.
I have a lot of convictions that I'm not really sure about.
Yeah. Convictions. That's why I like reading, but it's hard to, like, pick one where I'm like, this is the one. I'm like, you know what, I would like to absorb all these and start a cult.
Take a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And it's not going to, like, kill each other cult, it's going to be like a, it's just going to be a good cult.
Yeah.
Good old school fashion, like, cult. Maybe we can go, like, Hindu, or, like, I'm just a Swami or a guru. I have these visions of grandeur that drive my wife crazy.
To me, you've always seen more like the Mike Myers version of
the love guru.
Yeah.
Oh, Guru Pika. Yeah.
Guru Pika.
Into me, I see. Intimacy.
Yeah. But somehow it could work. Yeah.
Deepak Chopra. On Oprah.
I read this little article the other day about a guru in India that ended up, he was just charged and finally sent away for, like, rape and sexual assault of a lot of women. And he was just so gross and, like, this fucking hideous, like, hipster Indian guru. It was weird, like, this weird mix of aesthetics that he just, it weren't working for him, but somehow... Well, maybe not, it was by force, not somehow.
Well,
and he got these women.
Like, Sexy Sadie, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Sexy Sadie.
By the Beatles. Sexy Sadie. Like, have you done? You made a fool of everyone. Basically, John Lennon was watching him sleep with all the female students and was like, you're a fucking asshole, just like everybody else.
Yep.
Like, you just want that, you want to poke. Like, yeah, that's like,
That's a tough thing. I
think saints should be in the dirt. In a fucked up way. Like, to me, a good saint's one who gets, like, they get liquored up, but they cry when they see an animal on the road dead. Or they see, like, a poor person, they're like, hey, here's whatever you need, man. Like, to me, it's like, you're in the real world, but you try to make it just a little better.
There's a huge difference to me between heart and action.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people who have done some really fucked up things, but they've got a really good heart. And... like, there was one thing I was talking to Hannah about yesterday. It's like, there were a lot of people that I thought would be around for me when my mom passed away that weren't. But there were people that also said one thing to me. It was like, if you need me, call me. And I knew that if I called them, they would be there. Whether we talked or not is one thing. The heart was there.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people who didn't necessarily say that, and I did call them, and they weren't there. And so, like, the difference between, like... The real emotion and the action is huge.
And very annoying.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it frustrates me.
You ever read anything about, Hitchens on Mother Teresa?
No. But
it's,
I know, like,
brutal.
The book is supposed to be insanely brutal. Yeah. The missionary position.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Like, I was kind of like, Calcutta.
Yeah. Well, I mean... you know, as far as humanitarian work is concerned, she's fucking, upheld as this saint.
Yeah.
And when you really look into what
she wanted them to be Catholic more than be a saint.
This is she more of a was guest. More. This was more about capital gain than helping people, and it was suffering is good because Jesus suffered, type of a thing. So these people who were there was money pouring in by the millions to Mother Teresa, in directly to her name, from you know people all over the world, where she could have put this money to use to heal people. There were people who could have been medically treated and been just fine that were left to suffer and die in one of her
convents.
Little, yeah, yeah, convents. That's the word I was looking for. Solely because it was morally right to suffer because that's what Jesus suffered, and she just had so much money that she ended up just pouring into, you know, opening new churches and things like this that could have been used to help dying children, and instead she gave them a half-assed bed and a place to suffer and die, and it's horrible.
It is the Lord's blessing. Like, that type of shit.
Oh, my
like,
God. Oh. I can't...
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
But then on, like, the other side at the same time, I've, like... That Meher Baba guy that I've been telling you about. Like,
yeah.
He's, like, cleaning lepers with his fucking bare hands.
Yeah.
Like,
see, that's what I'm talking about. There's a difference between the heart and the action.
Yeah, like, he's, like... And he doesn't talk, because he said the same thing, like... Dude, people talk so much. I'm not going to say a damn word.
You can say any mix of words
but,
that
like,
you want.
My
that
actions
mean anything,
are
going to
scream at you.
Exactly.
Like,
what I do is what's important.
Meme Crowley Baba, same thing. He's like, I met that Madhu lady who I still have to talk to. She's in India right now. And she was telling me her brother was a disciple of him. And I told you like this like last time we talked. And yeah, you bring me 800 pounds of rice and I'll feed everybody around free. Just come back, feed them. Because it's the right thing to do. I'm not looking for God. Just, I gotta feed. His thing is to serve and feed. And there's a third part, but those are the big two. Like, hey, man, you need help? Here for you. Need food? We got it.
You know what's really funny is I was talking to the family who has the dogs, actually. And we're... I don't know how it came up, but I don't know really if there's... I don't know what the humanitarian aspects of it are, but whenever there's a championship sports game, they print up championship memorabilia for both teams. So whoever wins, they've already mass produced all this stuff, and they just pump out the winner team. And then all the loser stuff, it gets sent to like third world countries. So like fucking African little starving African children are wearing fucking teams of losers who didn't win the championship. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
It's what like that's a huge
They send that shit and they just send it and there's like no.
That's what I hope it is.
That's
I don't know what
that'd
the merit is of the actual program.
I'd happily push that. Like, hey.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Because even like you know, memorabilia cups and shirts and hats and...
Shoes.
Everything.
Why not? You know,
everything.
Socks. Yeah.
You know they're around.
Yeah.
And it could all... It's all made. You're not going to make money on it. Give it away. Remember fucking recycle t-shirts? Send them somewhere. People don't have them.
That's the part where I can get on a socialist tirade, but I will not.
I am not smart enough to have a political opinion, but I...
But I think
I'm getting there lately.
Like, it's like helping people, but like you don't want to change the economic system that exploits them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they need money. It's like, that's what part I do get capitalism.
Well, see, I understand... Again, socialism, somewhat on a humanitarian level. There are things that I disagree with. But when you take a look at socialist countries and what it has done to those countries, it doesn't work. So
what about, and I hate to be like the like ignorant Bernie guy, but I'm like, what about Finland, Norway? And Denmark, like the top five countries.
It works with very...
But to me, it's a mixed economy, which is, to me, the dream.
They're also...
Small.
A very small fraction of the population.
We also make way more money than they do.
That's true. But we also are...
We also have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
That
we
don't talk about.
Yeah, we've got blood on our hands
in
a lot
of...
For a lot of different reasons.
I'll bring up, like, the idea of race. Like, there's just a shit ton of things that we haven't really...
That's what,
like the whole lifted race, it up and swept
the race
it under.
Thing is what is... it sucks to say that the people who fought for racial equality and everything are now the people who are setting this country back hundreds of years in terms of race. Who that's all they want to talk about. Instead of just judging people on the content of their character, now if you are a certain skin color, this means that you are a certain thing. And that's what everybody fought to destroy.
Yeah, yeah. The assumptions. Like, basically, like, hey, if you're this, you're that. If you're the assumptions of everything.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I like... more, like, politically correct, incorrect bullshit, like, in my life, like, to be told that I've had it better than somebody who's
that's
of a different skin color
to.
Is because, like, once again,
no offense,
if you'd like to sit down and tell you some stories, you know,
yeah.
I'd like to argue...
Let's talk about drug addiction.
I'd like to argue the fact that I had it that much
better.
And
physical violence with parents, yeah.
You know, it's great, I lived on welfare my whole life, I've lived in a domestic violence shelter.
Yeah.
I've had SWAT team rifles pointed in my direction as a kid because my parents' house was raided for it being a meth lab. Like, how can you tell me that I've had
that's the part of like
benefits that you didn't
white,
get to enjoy because of my skin
what's
color?
What's it, white?
White privilege?
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Like, I come from a trailer park. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I barely, like, a quarter of my whole school...
Yep.
Graduated.
Yeah.
Like,
we
that
lived
was,
in a fucking
that
shit
was my
area.
Fresh, yeah, a quarter of my freshman class graduated.
Yeah, but you can't say that because that's not, it's not the consensus view anymore.
And
if
I
you're
grew up
white,
in a
you had it better.
Neighborhood with a lot of games.
And that's, yeah. If, like, yeah. If you're
my
white,
neighbor
you had
carried
it
a bat with nails through it.
Jesus. That's crazy to me that instead of judging people based on.
To me, it's more of a class issue. That, to me, it makes
well,
more sense.
Well, the class and culture.
Yeah.
I think culture has something to do with that as well.
To me, class is, like, a deep... That's me, like, you can come at it in a more way, like, a more effective manner. But that idea, just the word is so dirty.
But to me...
Like, class comes out slow motion sometimes.
Silence.
For some people, it's like, class.
Well,
like,
yeah,
oh,
it's
fuck.
It's a buzzword at this point, so... It, you know, fucking it's a hot button no matter... what the context is.
And I hate how, like, the baby boomers will, like, bitch, like, oh, no, it doesn't work. Like, you guys were the, like, it's like the Beat Generation. It was one of the most prosperous times. Colleges were fucking free.
Yeah.
You can go to fucking UCLA, you can go to fucking, like, all these places and get
for
in, get fucking out.
For affordable,
for
affordable amount.
You can feed a whole family as a single mother working at Sears at that time.
Mm.
Good luck trying that shit today. We're like, I'm working for the goddamn government. I can barely get by.
I sign paperwork every day that means that people flying through the air are going to be safe, and if they're not, I go to jail.
Nice. Wow.
So. You know, and
where would they send you? Like, I know it's going to be federal, but, like, what the fuck?
So, being an aircraft mechanic...
Would that be a white-collar crime?
I don't know. I mean, if people die due to negligent maintenance, that's homicide.
Yeah.
Negligent homicide.
Or so, be vehicular manslaughter. No, that's a horrible, stupid dad joke. Like, I gotta start working
still,
on
it. I guess it is vehicular in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, if something happens and, I lose my license, my career is done, and I go to jail for negligent manslaughter or homicide or, you know, whatever they charge you with. And, I don't make that much money.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are mechanics who do, and I'm working up to that, but... Although I say I don't make that much money, but this isn't one of those things I'm conflicted about again. Like I said, I'm conflicted about everything. I feel like I'm doing well, because I'm doing better than I ever have in my whole life.
Yeah.
I'm on track to make double what I've ever made in any fiscal year in my life. But I'm also broke sometimes. So having the responsibility of signing off on 80 people's lives at a time is tough.
I have this issue with Natara where I know you're talking about, like, your parents, so I'd love to get your opinion on this. Like, well, not your parents, but I mean, like, people using things, like, kind of, like, as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's this part of me, like, with my mom and my dad, when they divorced a lot, I'd be the one to have to, like, go get the check for my dad.
Yeah.
And I'd hear the shit from my dad, yeah. like, hey, do you want to go to court? And, like, that type of shit.
Yeah,
and,
like, where you had, like, both of them are trying to talk you into voicing their opinion.
And I'm like, I have to go back and forth and back. But it made me really hate money.
Yeah.
Like, it made me just deep, because that's what it was all about. To me, it was like, I want to hurt him where it hurts, and that's his pocket. And I'm like, oh, I fucking hate money so much. And she's like, what, like... You want a better life? Like, I do want a better life, but I want a principled life that wasn't there. And if, like, she's like, but we gotta have more money. I'm like, I understand that, but there's this part of me where I'm like, I just hate talking about it. Where, like, I just end up getting fucking angry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a few times that my mom, like, when my grandmother died, my dad's mom, he was entitled to some of those assets, and he had some money coming, and my mom, without his knowledge, filed for back child support on that, so she was able to claim a lot of money, and it was pretty dirty. Not that, you know, people shouldn't pay their, like, there isn't consequences for not paying child support, but there was a lot of things that maybe my dad didn't pay, and maybe he did have it coming, but I think, I don't know, just the way you go about getting,
your kids sticking somebody not like,
yeah,
be shouldn't the be in the person. Middle. That's the thing, like, that drove me nuts, like, why the fuck am I doing this?
And it wasn't like she got that money and fucking bought us everything that we ever needed, you know.
So my mom did, she used it for clothes and all that stuff. Like, she did.
Oh, I'm sure to an extent. You know, same thing with my mom. I'm sure she bought us what we needed, at least to the bare minimum, but she also spent that money on drugs and, like, not long after, no, it couldn't have been after, I don't know, it's painful shit, you can't really remember the timeline, you can kind of block some of it out, but,
a lot of repressed things,
so, we were evicted from my apartment, and my mom, me, and my brother moved into my grandmother's house, which my dad was already living in, and she would go sneak out and hang out with her boyfriend, which was the cause of all our problems and why we're there to begin with, and then, like, she got, like, shoved around by everybody on the same day, and we ended up going into a domestic violence shelter. And we lived there for, God, I think you're only supposed to be there for 6 months, but I think we ended up living there almost a year and a half.
Wow.
And so.
Is that like Shade Tree?
Safe Nest.
Safe Nest.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm not positive what Shade Tree is.
I think it's, you're right though. Safe Nest sounds, Safe Nest, yeah.
So they pick us up in a van in a parking lot at 3 in the morning and blindfold us. And basically don't tell us where we're going, because they don't want to show people where this place is and have them change their minds and go back to their lives, or allow these men that have caused them to need this place to know where it is. There are no men allowed in the building or on the property at all. So they put us in the van, and they were basically like, we're going to bring you here in secret, and once we decide that you are eligible to live here, you'll be able to know where it is. Which is, it's weird, but it's understandable. And from that point on, everything, all of our belongings were all brought to us out of donation bags. So it was like basically every bit of clothes we had for that few years came out of a trash bag that was collected, you know. And all the moms would, like, they dumped all the trash bags into this big thing, and everybody would, like, it would be a weekly thing where everybody had to go through it and divvy it up to the families. And it was fucking crazy. We got lucky, and we actually had our own room. There was only, like, in our building, there was only 3 rooms. So it was me, my mom, and my brother in one room. And then across the hall from us was a deaf lady who had a bunch of little kids, like 3 or 4 little kids. I think there was one more family in our building. But the building behind us was basically, like, rooms sectioned off by sheets. And you got, like, what basically equated to cots. So we really lucked out. We had, like, my mom had her bed, and then me and my brother had a bunk bed.
Wow. How old were you?
I must have been... I was in the 6th grade, so I must have been 10 or 11, which was right on the cusp of being not allowed to be there. I think as a teenager, men are like, you know, boys are not allowed on the property even. So, I do remember being right on the cusp of not even being allowed in the building. Yeah, it was crazy shit. But then my mom would still go leave and go hang out with the guy who put us in this place. It's fucking crazy what that kind of shit can do to you. Yeah, people make crazy decisions, man. It's I don't know. It's one of those, another one of those things I'm conflicted on. It's you have to handle what you have to handle in your life in order to keep yourself sane and moving, but you gotta think about other people too.
Big time. Especially when now that I am a parent.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine.
I don't get a lot of things that I've seen when it comes to, I'm like, why? Like, what are you doing? Especially guys who leave their kids to me, I'm like,
I don't get it.
I don't get that shit at all. You're missing the best part. As soon as you go, I'm like, wait, this is like the funnest part.
Yeah.
You can break dance on the floor with your little kid. Like,
without any judgment. Yeah.
Like, Lucy's in this thing where she crawls and then goes, like, on my stomach. Like, three times and starts laughing. I'm like, this is the best. Like,
dude, I have never felt about a baby the way I love your baby. I fucking love your kid so much. Because, like, you guys are, like, some of my closest friends. They're, like, my family.
We would not be together if it was not for you introducing.
Yeah.
That was the biggest cross... hairs, like, cross path, like, crossway.
Right? I think about that day all the time.
Freaking
like,
weird.
I had a dream about it the other day where, me and you were driving, and I was like, dude, I have a friend who works here, and she's fucking incredible. You gotta meet her. Let's go. Come on, we'll go say hi.
And 10 years later.
Yeah, you got a fucking baby.
Yeah. Finally got married.
So crazy, man. I'm super proud of you.
We're gonna start a... We are going to try to do a service, like a legit...
Really?
Yeah.
What's the time frame on that, you think?
I would want to do, like, a Buddhist thing.
Which is what?
Whatever they do.
I don't know, I just like it. I like
the idea. Like, I want to do something different, a little exotic, you know?
I don't think her family would be...
I don't care. This is our wedding. Also, we could do, like, a Hindu wedding where you follow me and, like, take the first step. Like in Gandhi.
That's funny.
I take you for it, and then like every step is like a way. All you have to say for most people, it's not easy. A lot of people are like, oh, look at them. They got it so well. I'm like, no, they don't. That's a front. A lot of people, it's work. It's hard work, people.
Yeah, it's hard work for most people.
It's easy sometimes, most of the time, but it's also hard work. I hate when people are like, oh, they got it so well, it's, like, perfect. I'm like, deep down there's issues. Everyone's got them.
You know, it's really fucking funny. Me and Matt were having this conversation last night where we're kind of going through a list of the people that we used to hang out with, and then at the end of the conversation we kind of came to the conclusion that, like, he was like, think about it. All the people that we just decided are just absolute douchebags and we really don't like them, like... They come from money, and their parents are still together.
Yeah. They didn't have to struggle at all. Like,
that's one of, like, the line in Fight Club. Like, how much can you know about yourself if you've never been in a fight? I don't want to die without any scars.
True.
How do you know what kind of person you are if you've never been through some real shit? Because that's where the real shit comes out. When you're scared, like, out of your fucking mind, and you don't know how the fuck you're gonna handle the next, you know, any amount of time in your life without doing some serious restructuring, how the fuck can you know who you really are? That's why, like, people tell me, like, oh my god, I don't know how you do it. Like, because that's it's me now.
Yeah.
Every bit of anything that has fucked my life up to a point that I thought I could never recover is now a reason I'm doing great. And it pisses me off when people use that shit to say that their life fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be the person you are if it weren't for the fucking universe shitting on you when it did.
And it reminds me of, like, Bukowski, where he's like, sometimes the gods, you know, they put a, like, every time he talks about something, he's like, the gods are good. It's like all the writers. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And, like, something bad happens, like, the gods do not really care about me today. Like, it just wasn't in the gods' cards to, like, treat me good today.
They must have forgot about me.
Yeah. I think it's, like, the universe. I like saying the gods. What do you mean? I'm like, yeah, man, Hera, Zeus. Like, get out of here with that one god that doesn't want to be seen.
Just, yeah. It's just the universe is what, you know, it's my go-to.
I like polytheism. I'd rather, like, have, like, when I'm pissed off, Ares, you know what? Or whatever.
Fuck you, yeah. I'm talking to this god today, you know? You're not doing anything for me.
It's in the Bible. Like, you should not look at those guys. I'm the guy. I'm like, exactly. There's still those other guys then.
Why?
So I'm gonna shop.
They gotta know something if you want me to stay away from them so bad. I don't fucking know.
You're being jealous. Grow up. Grow up, God. Yeah. Come on. Get over yourself.
We're gonna share our time like everybody else.
In the words of Nietzsche, I need to believe in a God who can dance. Which is the weirdest irony, because that is Natara's name. Just add a J and an A.
What was this?
The Dance of Shiva. It's Naharaja. So it's Natara with a J and an A.
Hmm.
Basically, that's like the whole cosmos moving in and out of everything. And the guy he's standing on is like your ignorance of life. And the whole thing is like... And then the arm that's down like this is Ganesha. And so he's removing all obstacles at the same time.
Yeah.
Everything means freaking much.
I was reading Ganesha's, like, that's like one of my favorite, like, spiritual.
I love, like, the idea of, like, the elephant, but a pasty, like, little chubby guy who's gonna save your whole, like,
and the idea of just being that fat pale dude is like aesthetics aren't important, and it's really what's inside that matters. And like, if the effect of like that's on a god, like it's just some chubby dude with an elephant head. Yeah,
a god. It's like the god.
The god. Yeah.
Like he's huge.
Yeah.
And Anuman too. I like Anuman. He's the monkey god.
Yeah, I don't know too much about.
He's like the god of like loyalty. Like if anyone needs anything, or like, hey, I'm there. If you need this, like to me, like I don't know. I always try to embody that because it drives me nuts when. Shifty people drive me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if I say I'm gonna, like you said, I want the actions. Like, to me, that gives a meaningful life.
Yeah.
Like, hey, he was there. I'm like,
yeah.
There you go. Like, and I want people to say that, like, when I die, like, he was there. Like,
yeah.
There's issue, he was there.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain things, like, I'll be the first to admit that there are certain times that I've been absent when I probably shouldn't have been from people's lives, only because I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
I had so, like, my brain was about to explode with its own problems, and I couldn't take on anyone else's. Isn't that selfish? And I hate it now, but it happened, and it, you know, like I said, I fucking accept any flaw that I happen to throw out there at anybody else, so, you know, that's one thing, like, we had that little, like, self-transformation talk, and I've kind of been, like, telling people about it, and everybody's like, wow, you fucking, you're some self-helpy, you reading self-help books, or like, what is this stupid shit you do? Like, just trying to be a better person, that's all.
Yeah, to me, like, screw that. Like, to me, it's... I don't give a shit. Like, hey, maybe I am. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm trying.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It reminds me, like, In My Eyes, like, by Minor Threat, where, like, you see everything that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But you're trying so hard to just, like, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I gotta go and do this.
Yeah. And, like, I'm taking all the pain that I've been through and applying it to, you know, how I react to what people do. Because I don't know what they're thinking, and I'm trying to, like, see, you know. I try to tell people, like, that who... Another, like, conflicting thing, where people say they have a shit life, and they're bummed about it, and I'm pissed because other people actually do have shit lives. But then, pain being completely relative to a situation. Someone can hurt just as bad as I did when everything happened to my mom for something that isn't anywhere near as horrible, but that's the worst thing that's happened to them. So that pain is on that same level because it's...
That's how they
feel. That's the bottom line for them at that point in their life. So that pain is relative, and the feeling is real, whether or not it's legitimate in your eyes or not. And I have, like, I'm having a hard time juggling that.
It's like it's subjective, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Subjective.
Yeah. So it's completely relative to your
perception,
total experience. So where I've had really shitty things happen to my family and everything, that's what was the shittiest for me. For having your fucking heart ripped out by somebody you love that, you know, killed me worse than anything else. But then, you know, somebody else who, you know, fucking crashed their car, lost their job, their dog died, whatever, you know, that they hurt just as bad because of their reference experience not being quite as bad as other things. But the pain is still the same, so you have to be understanding of a hurt, no matter where the hurt comes from. And I'm trying my best to juggle the fact of, like, quit being a pussy and get your shit together, and I'm
just
sorry you're hurting.
And be like, what's going on? Like, let's talk.
So I don't know where the middle ground on that is, but I'm looking for it, so. I don't know.
Compassion's key.
Oh, yeah. Empathy is, you know, it's important.
Impermanence sucks. That's, like, the biggest downside and one of the craziest things about any, like, that's what drives me nuts about Buddhism. Sometimes, like, impermanence.
The idea of eternity bothers me. Like,
I don't even think of eternity, but I just hate that idea of, like, all your problems are impermanent, they'll go away. But But I'm like, if you really, like, went through, like, getting raped or some, like, horrible ordeal, I'm like, that shit doesn't just, like, disappear. And like, I don't think you'll, like, get over it. Like, I think
there
stays.
Are things to do.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And I don't think it's cope, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
I think everybody's experience is different, but I don't think, like, this is where I'm kind of strict on how I feel about this. It's like, when certain things happen to you, yes, it is awful, but if you let it ruin your life, at a certain point, that's on you.
And not only that, but you're not doing justice to the person that you cared about.
Yeah, they win if your life is ruined.
Yeah, like, you're not doing it justice.
Yeah. I think I was on a different page than you were right there. Like, I was talking, like, this person who hurt you.
Yeah,
like,
no,
they
definitely
win.
That's what I mean, though. Like, you're not doing justice to the people that were hurt. Like, you're not honoring their person.
Yeah.
Because they will win if you, like, let your whole life definitely
life win,
go
and
to,
you do.
Go to shit.
That's, nothing like there's no spit in the face like doing well with someone else pushing back against you.
Yeah. Yeah, the adversity and, like, all that bullshit. Like, hey.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. I did it anyway.
Yeah. Punk rock, bitch. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I really pride myself on is, like, you know, the whole, like, it's probably a fucking Ali quote, you know, about it's not how hard you hit, it's about how hard you get hit.
Oh, that's Rocky,
man. Rocky, that's
hell yeah. That's the best speech ever.
Yeah.
I listen to that speech so much. There's people who get cancer and listen to that speech, and it helps them turn their life around, according to YouTube comments. But I like to believe that those are true.
That's not, like, that's another thing. It's like, my aunt has gone through more shit than any, like, she was there through all my family stuff, like, all, like, it was... She shared all that shit, and she has rheumatoid arthritis, and she has fucking cancer, and they pulled her eyeball out. She can't see in her other one. She's got fucking cancer down there in her brain, and she calls me to see how I'm doing. It's crazy.
Looking on the bright side of
everything. Yeah, like, I'll never be as strong as someone like that, and that's fucking crazy. Yeah.
My nana's the same.
Like, it's insane.
I've
never
died,
met a stronger person.
My husband died, and she's still, like, gets up every day, life is beautiful, it just happened, and I can't...
Yeah, and I mean, I can see the thing, I can see the shit getting to her now, but she doesn't put it on anyone else.
Yeah.
And, like, she's just, she takes care of her family, even though she's the worst off. and she could use the help, but she takes care of everybody else because that's what makes her feel good. And she's the strongest woman I've ever met in my life. It's crazy.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, she suffered the same loss as I did. I mean, you know, her sister and her nephew. And all this shit. I thought I was hurting, but she's got fucking cancer and rheumatoid arthritis on top of being this. She can't fucking see. But yet, she calls me to see how I'm doing. It's insane. And, like, it fucking... It makes me feel like an absolute pussy.
Yeah.
Strongest woman I've ever met in my life.
I do think women are way stronger than men.
By far.
I know a lot of people don't say that, but women, yeah. Like, watching Birth alone was like, oh shit. And just, like, strength. Like, emotional strength emotional in a way strength. That yeah, is, absolutely. Like, astounding.
Yeah, women can go through some serious shit. I mean, I want
to
say
it's the way they react to it. Like, yeah. The way that they deal with it is way stronger. Men, like, get drunk and they get it out.
Yeah.
In their way, but women, like, and, like, it reminds me of being, like, the stiff upper lip, like,
yeah,
it's, like, a certain way of, like, they carry it, and they're, like, wow, how, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. For me, it's all about the content of your character. Someone who's a good person will generally be able to hold their own and keep moving. It's the shittier people who... I don't know, shittier is not the right word, because, I don't know, someone of less, I don't want to say moral character, I don't know where I'm going with this really, but like, someone who's not so strong-willed is so easy, it's so much easier for them to crumble, and like, when you care, the more people you care about, the easier it is to deal with what you've got going on and push forward for the people you care about. So, if you, like, it's one of the things, if you don't give a fuck about anybody, how the fuck are you going to give a fuck about you?
Yeah.
And so, you're going to let yourself fall apart regardless of what it would do to anyone else. And that comes back to, like, the suicide thing. It's like, not to say that people who commit suicide are weak, because I know some really great people who have killed themselves, and it, you can't put yourself in the situation that could bring you to do something like that. Like, you never know what someone's thinking at that time. But, I don't know. I guess it's selfish to say, but if you really care about people, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so, I think to be able to kill yourself...
Or the opposite. Like, well, I think, I think of, like, Robin Williams, where I think, like, the idea of being a burden, like, with brain disease
and yeah. stuff. Yeah, so where... there, I mean, that's... total different opposite sides of the spectrum that can kind of come to the same conclusion. So you, because you care about these people so much,
you'd rather get out of the way. And
exactly.
Be like, I don't want to
yeah,
be a burden.
That's true.
And have you go through all that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, but
for me, my huge issue and like with a lot of things is self confidence.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like that's why, like
it is.
I,
yeah,
like I half ass. Most of my stuff, because I'm, like, in the middle of it, I'm like, this is stupid, like...
Yeah, I've always had the same problem. Yeah. It's, like, I've never had a self-worth that was worth a damn, but I care about the people around me so much that that's what I do things for.
Yeah.
So, like, where people are, like... Now I'm getting to a point where I'm doing things to better my life, instead of bettering my life to make someone happy, or to do something for someone else. But it's just working out in my favor, because that's what I had to do to fix whatever problem I thought was an issue
mm-hmm.
for somebody else. Like, I'm finally getting to a point where I'm building my life up to something I want it to be for me, and that's a huge step forward, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's something I've, like, never had before, so that's part of that whole, like, self-transformation thing that I was telling you about, is now I'm working for me rather than working to do something that I think might make someone else happy. Like, when the whole thing with the ex is, I thought, and she used to get pissed when I would tell her, like, you know, this, I did all this shit for you. She was like, well, fucking quit then. Then what the fuck you care about it for? Do it for you, otherwise it don't mean anything. Which is some, you know, brilliant shit she actually said to me. But yeah, so now I'm finally getting to a point where I can see that, and it's huge, huge.
It's gotta be rewarding.
Yeah, it is. Like, because now there's no one around for me to say, like, I did all this for you, and what do I get for it? No, I'm doing it for me, and it's because my life is better because of it now. And it's so great to be able to say that.
I think relationships, you gotta both have that mindset, but in a way that's so supportive. Like,
I think there has to be a middle ground in that, where you're doing things to better yourself.
But you don't forget each other.
Exactly.
Oh, definitely. But I think you both have to stop, like, I don't want it to hard, like, forget herself because she's a mom or anything.
Yeah.
Like, no, keep bettering yourself. If you want to do it, go do it. Like, I got your back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go try this, and you got my back?
Yeah.
And, because I don't want Lucy to think, like, no, you gotta just kind of, like, everything's for you, babe. Like, no, that's dangerous. Yeah. That's dangerous, yeah. dangerous.
Yeah, that was one of those things I told her. It was like, anything that you want to do, I'm 100% behind you. And I'm going to tell you if something might not be as feasible as you think it is, you know. Or if maybe you've got it better where you're at as opposed to where you want to go. And, like, I'll give you my opinion on it, but if your opinion differs from mine and that's what you really want to do, I am 100% wholeheartedly behind you, and I'll do whatever I can to help you go in that direction. And, this change has made a huge difference in my life.
I stood up, like, listening, or stood up. I stood up, but no, I stayed up listening to, like, the idea of, like, positive thought speeches, and I do think it's true, like, if you change your mindset to some degree where, like, you envision positive things, you will will it somehow into existence. Yeah. Like,
I mean, negative thoughts have a huge impact on your everyday life. If you wake up every day with a positive attitude and you think that you're handling this shit, let's do it. It does. It changes your whole life around, and it affects the people around you because other people see that shit and say, oh, fuck, if he's doing it, why can't I do it? And, I've been there for a long time where you just are stuck in a spot where you don't see how it could possibly get worse.
Do you ever hit that spot? But you don't think it's going to get better either. Where you're like, where do I go?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is like, I'd rather have the part where it's like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because at least there's like a way out of it hard, but I hate the part where it's like,
what do I do now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do I go? What am I? It always like trickles to like, oh man, I don't know what I am. What am I doing? Like,
like existential dread.
Yeah, and you're like, oh man, what am I doing? Like, where am I? Like, that's where I'm like, stop thinking about yourself, asshole. Like, get out.
You selfish prick.
Yeah. Could have been such a narcissist.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But I hate that part where it's like, you're laying there at night and you're like, but mailman, I did not want to do this, but it is what it is right now, and I'm going to roll with life, because life happens. No matter what the hell you want it to happen, life is what happens in the middle of making plans, I think John Lennon said.
Yeah. Nailed it. And, I don't know, from an outside perspective, like, to me, like, you're doing awesome. Like, between you and Atari, you've got a baby, you're making money, things are good, you got a house, like, it's great. But there's always that nagging, like, sense, you know, like, fuck, what should I really be doing? Like, what could make this better? And what decisions could I have made that...
Who is Frank? Who am I?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, there aren't very many of us, you know, all the friends that we've made over the last few years that are doing shitty.
Yeah.
And even people that, like, we all kind of looked at and were like, I don't know about you.
Sure you want to do that?
I love you, man, but I think you're going to have a rough road. But, you know, most of us are doing really well. And I love that. It's always such a great time for me to catch up with somebody maybe I haven't talked to in a little while. And they're like, dude, this is what's going on. I got this and this and this. Everything's so great. Like, nothing puts a smile on my face more than hearing, like, this is amazing stories from my friends that are just doing cool shit and living their life and being stoked about it.
I think I'm ready to go skydiving with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't given it a thought, and Will Smith is the one who inspired me.
Dude, it changed my life. There's no question about that.
He's talking about, like, the fear of, like, building it until you jump out, and, like, what the hell was I so scared of?
Yeah.
Because once you, like, get out there and you're free-falling, it's like...
When you're free-falling, like, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, there was no real thoughts happening.
It's just falling.
Like, you're never even, like, it's never even a thought, like, wow, I'm really going fast. I wonder when he's going to pull that chute. Hey, we could have went right into the ground and I never would have had that thought. Because you're just fucking flying. I mean, you're going like, you hit terminal velocity after a few seconds. It's like I think it's around 120 miles an hour or something. Like
120 miles
an hour. Yeah, and you can't breathe. Yeah. And then they hit the parachute and it really is a surprise because it just fucking racks your balls. And like, it hits hard, you know?
I am assuming it goes fast. Like, all of a sudden you're on the ground. This is an assumption.
It's about 5 minutes top to bottom.
Nice.
So.
That's plenty.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, it's funny, it's like, I went to eat Denny's after I landed out of my first skydiving trip. And the guy that I went with, like, there were supposed to be, like, 10 of us going. And it ended up being me and one other guy that showed up. And, we were both, like, we had some shit omelet at Denny's, and it was like, it really was, like, the best breakfast we ever had, you know? Like, it just, things like just...
life became new.
Yeah. Not to reach into another Fight Club reference, but, like, he fucking sticks that gun in that dude's mouth and is like, the next meal that guy has, he'll remember. It'll be the greatest thing ever because life changes at a certain point.
That primal knowledge, to me, is, like, it's, like, some of the best primal crap. Like,
yeah.
Like, Joe Rogan built a goddamn career off of primal knowledge to some degree. Like, bow hunting, everything that guy does is, like, primal, real, nitty-gritty, like, experienced
that
knowledge.
That guy gets into, like, real basic emotion and action of, like, people that is just... He's a really smart guy in that sense.
I know it's really bad to talk about another podcast while, like, recording a podcast, but it's, like, that's part of those, like... That's just a part of my life. Like, I want to just turn it on more. Like, stop sitting here and, like, no. Like, anything. Like.
Yeah, it's one thing I want to do, too. Like, I'm kind of at a, I don't know, an adrenaline standstill where I just go to work a lot and go home, go to bed. So I do want to get up and do more. That's why I've been traveling. You know, I went to Honduras and I've been jump around the States a little bit, seeing friends and stuff, so that's going to be my...
What's your next trip?
I'm going in, like, 2 weeks, I'm going to St. Pete Beach for my friend's wedding. It'll be my first gay wedding, I'm pretty stoked about it.
Awesome. Where's that at, St. Pete?
I'm kind of a bridesmaid. It's in Tampa, or just outside of Tampa. Yeah. And then... I'm going with my friend Letty and her boyfriend and her sister to California to go to, like, Universal Studios on Halloween. Nice. Which is, I mean, I'm not huge on theme parks, but I think it'll be such a fun trip.
It'll be fun, yeah. Hell yeah. On Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And, I mean, I don't care what we do. Like, I'm stoked on road trips. So, if we go to some shit that even I'm not that interested in, I'm still stoked, like... Taking a trip, it's away from home, you're with your friends. It's fucking awesome. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And then, somewhere along the line over the next couple months, I think I'm just gonna go do Dublin by myself. Just go, for like a day or two.
Nice.
And come home. Because it's easy. We got a direct flight out of Chicago, so. I'd like to take my dad to Amsterdam. We've been talking about that for a long time. So I'm gonna do that for sure.
Nasty.
Yeah, probably.
Nasty. That's
on him. I'm gonna go give him the time of his life, just because he's been hurting for a long time.
$100 and tip of the hat.
Exactly. Go have your fun.
A sailor knows another sailor when he sees one. <them. laughs>
Thailand is on the top of my list of what I really want to do. I don't think that's something I'll be able to do on my own. You know, I don't want to be one of those fucking white dudes that goes missing in a foreign country. So I'll have to find somebody to go with me, but Yeah, we'll see. So I'm on my self-help kick, you know, for now, and fixing myself, and then at that point where I feel like
it's called growth spurt.
Oh yeah, it's more of a fucking jab than anything.
Yeah, self-help to me is like,
it's garbage. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like new age. I'm like, and I always wonder how much I fall into that category, because I don't know. Like, it's new age to me. Like, to me, it seems like if you give me $500, I can make your problems disappear.
Yeah.
That with like an Indian guy.
If you look into these crystals, my friend.
You ever seen those televangelism infomercials? Or sow the seed of $1,000, and God will.
I was watching.
Bless you for all eternity, type of bullshit.
My favorite one is the guy who like hits the guy, and he's like healed. He's like, walk. Jesus commands you to walk, and they start walking.
Look up. I was watching this compilation of like crazy Christian, like mega church, healing videos where like people are like, her arm is like shorter than the other, and then it's basically is like they wave their jacket, and then she's like, and like the whole auditorium just looks like fainting, and then they're like slapping each other with their jackets, and people are falling down. Or
I wish most pastors like steps in, like, you know, like the original sin and all that, like everyone's a sinner. And, like, instead of a guilt trip, I'm like, no, I'm fucked up, you're fucked up, let's just help each other. Yeah. Like, instead of, like, guilting it, like, no, you're a fucking wicked asshole who's got, you want a drink, you want to look at that girl's ass, you want to look at that guy's ass, like, you guys are just wicked people, but could I get some money?
Yeah. Like, but as like, opposed to, like, now we're a team, let's work on this together.
Yeah, we're all fucked up, stop judging each other, and let's just make the world, or even just this little area, just of four people, let's just quit judging each other, make life a little bearable.
Yeah. Did you see that, the Cardinal Pell?
Was that the guy who was Mustang Kids from Australia?
Yeah.
That was a matter of time.
Debated Richard Dawkins.
There's a lot of weird people who've probably debated Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris. Richard Dawkins
doesn't do very many debates, but
he's snarky. From what I heard, I'm more Richard of a Dawkins. Sam Harris guy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Hitchens was big for me too. But Richard Dawkins always seemed angry.
Yeah.
That's more like general.
He's a great writer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever, did you ever read The Greatest Show on Earth?
It's like my next thing. Yeah. It's like sitting right, I started reading.
Sometimes it's a bit too much.
That opening scene of, Sam Harris is The End of Faith, where the guy's sitting on the bus.
On the bus, bomb.
And I was like, oh shit, I love the fact that he calls out people who know better.
Yep.
Like, that's me. He was hitting me right in the jaw. Where I was like, it was like a super, like, hook, where he's like, you know better.
The End of Faith was really good.
Yeah. Clear, concise.
Did you ever read Letter to a Christian Nation?
No.
That one was really good, too. It was kind of a sequel to the backlash of The End of Faith.
Yeah.
So, all the hate that he got for that, he took and put it into this book, Letter to a Christian.
And it's like more of like a pamphlet, right?
It's short. It's really short. It's a real quick read. But it was real short, real concise, and like, look, this is, he shoots people down with fucking pinpoint accuracy.
But the thing that drives me, like, I love is, like, he does Dzogchen Tibetan Buddhism. I don't know if that's, I don't know how to pronounce that word. It's like,
I have no idea.
But the practice that he does of Tibetan Buddhism is basically written by this guy, Lama Suryadas. He's also a member of that. And that named Crowley Baba guy, that was who he met that pointed him that way. So it's like, it's weird how the West comes from like these like little centers. And like even Sam Harris, of all people, got touched by like the same.
You ever hear Hitchens talk about Sam Harris?
He probably gets annoyed as shit, but he's like, oh, he's kind of a Buddhist.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what he said. See, like, and yeah, he's like, you know, I love Sam to death. He's one of my best friends, but I've got my own issues with him. I mean, he's kind of a Buddhist, and I get, you know, we could talk about that another time. Yeah. But he's kind of a Buddhist, and I have my own issues with that.
He has a meditation app.
He does, yeah. I never made it through. What was his meditation book?
Waking up. Yeah.
I never made it through. It was kind of dry in the beginning, and I think I was on a. I have to go back and forth between my really, like, scientific stuff and story stuff.
Just regular. Yeah. Just like basically have like entertainment, and then it's like get my mind blown. That's like balancing those two is hard sometimes.
It is, yeah.
Because like once you go down that, you kind of get like hard edged. Mm-hmm. I know I do that shit. Like
that's why I'm on a Stephen King kick right now. I'm just finishing up The Stand, and I'm gonna read It next, and then I'll go back to my spirituality and stuff.
The quest.
Yeah.
What they call the work. There's a guy. The work. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna start reading this guy, Gurdjieff. I don't know if that's how you even say his name. It's Gurdjieff.
Fuck, I don't know.
Gurdjieff. But he also is a composer of music, so I'm kind of curious to hear his music at the same time. But he calls it the work. He's like, you get out there, man, it's fucking hard work. You gotta find
that's
out.
Pretty accurate, and like to really sum it into just a couple words, the work, yeah. It's pretty.
It's not some cutesy, like, oh, I'm vegan, and I'm not, like.
There's a lot of self-realization shit that needs to go into how you feel about your spirituality and everything.
The path, yeah. I like it, the work, too.
I dig the work, that's why I like that.
The work. So I'll let you know how those go, because that's Thrift Books. Who, if you want to sponsor the program.
Quick shameless plug.
Definitely, without a doubt. I'm not plugging it. It's just a really good product. Thriftbooks.com. Sponsor the podcast, please.
Free shipping on any order over
$10. Yeah. Which is guaranteed 3 to 4 books, ladies and gentlemen.
To you in 7 to 10 business days.
The Chronicles of Frank sent you there. Same with the celebrity centers here in town at Las Vegas for the Church of Scientology.
What exactly is a celebrity center?
I have no clue. To me, it seems like their church.
No.
Their books are weird. Everything about them's weird. Once I saw that documentary on HBO...
I haven't watched the whole thing. I really need to, because I'm really interested in it.
On Netflix, they just put on My Scientology Movie.
No.
That is a fucking trip.
Is it?
That is a fucking trip. He gets an ex-Scientologist guy to, like, come and, like, help him make it. And then the Scientologists, like, they catch on to him, like, making this.
Yeah.
And they start showing up with, like, cameras, like, we're making a documentary. And he's like, I'm making a documentary. Like, what's your name? And he starts, like, trying to talk to them. And, like, no, we're not going to talk to him. Like, holding a camera to his face. And it gets fucking weird. And the guy's, like, he was, like, second under David Miscavige. Wow. And when they're finding actors to, like, persuade him, the guy, like, goes fucking ballistic, and he's, like, smiling. He's like, this is my Miscavige. Like, this is the guy. And it's fucking weird. I don't, like, after... It's one of those movies, like, you have to watch it, like, 3 times. Because I was like, what the fuck really did I just watch?
Yeah.
It was, like, a jumbled mess of, like, weird white people. Like, need hugs from their parents.
I think that's
friends.
An accurate description of Scientology. A jumbled mess of white people.
Yeah, weird white people. Weird.
Yeah,
yeah, gotta have that weird part. That's a... Tom Cruise. John Travolta, we all know you're gay. Come out, it's a perfect time. You'd be on Oprah, your career would definitely bounce. You have the triple threat of coming back a third time. That's never happened. No one's ever come back a second but John Travolta.
Trifecta.
Yeah, he would be huge again. So if you're his agent...
Another shameless plug.
Yeah. Just for John Travolta. This is where people start turning it off.
Yeah. Thrift Books, Scientology, and John Travolta.
Yep. And a hot-ass garage.
Yep. Misery brings out the best. You gotta be a little uncomfortable in order to think the thoughts that you need.
We should get you to play on this. That's a shameless plug from me to you.
We'll do that on the next one. Because I know I'll be back doing this again.
Alright.
Because we'll have to tune up your guitar again. Have to let me practice first.
Oh, yeah. I still think that recording we made was, like, one of the best things I ever
I listen
did
to it all the time
on
still.
On top of what you did, yeah.
I listen to it all the time. And... How old were we? Was I? 17, maybe?
We were young. Yeah, I was 16. Like 18.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
It's been down near 10 years since we wrote and recorded that song.
That was, like, still...
And
for
it's still
an 8-track. Yeah. That might be the kitten.
Oh, it sounded like a dog, like, sniffing under the door or something.
That could be Hoagie.
Oh, yeah, maybe it is that door. Okay.
The kitten will scratch that thing sometimes.
Call it?
Yep.
It's time to get another beer.
All right, I like that. I gotta pee anyway.
Yep. And that's how the last one ended. Bathroom break.
Thanks for letting me do that with you, man.
Oh, no, it was my pleasure. And that was Ryan Young, my dear friend. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And I hope you share, rate, and follow this podcast. And for those of you that are doing that, I thank you with everything. And for those in bad situations, just remember, they're not permanent. Everything changes. And that life is beautiful and horrible at the same time, but you gotta take one with the other. That's what makes it so fun to be here. So just like to send love, peace, and happiness to whoever's listening to this, to you, the listener. Love you, thank you. And I hope everything's going well. And if it's not, it eventually will. So, until next time, comrades. Peace out.